In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. And this is eternal life, to know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou didst send forth. The words of our Lord today kind of came to my mind as Father Seraphim and I were driving from Washington, Texas here, as we passed a lot of Protestant formations. And some of the marquees were kind of cute. They were like enticing, you know, to get you to come here and hear the word of God and see the things that we have to give to you. I got to thinking, to know the true God, to know him and have eternal life, are all these different formations able to get me there? Do they all have the truth? Is the truth the same? It's just expressed in different ways, but it's the same truth no matter where it comes from. Well, obviously, the answer to that is no. There is only one truth, and that's the truth that our Lord Jesus Christ gave to his disciples. There's a beautiful expression in the Gospel of St. Luke where it says, he opened their eyes of their mind, actually the news, to understand the gospel teachings, all right? So he gave them that truth at that moment. And then it was really amplified when he sent the Holy Spirit, but he gave it to those few disciples. And then what happened? Well, that unity had to be maintained, and it was maintained through the laying on of the hands. The apostolic succession. And through that, we Orthodox Christians know, through the Holy Fathers of the Church, we honor today all of them, but especially the ones of the First Ecumenical Council, the 318 in Nicaea. We honor these Holy Fathers because they keep us in that truth so that we can know Jesus Christ and the Father who sent him. And that way we can have eternal life. You know, when you think about it in perspective, look at the Orthodox Church. We have a lot of different cultures, a lot of different languages, right? We don't have a pope to unite everybody under one head. And yet we all have the same faith. Thank God that passing down of the truth through the fathers of the church has been preserved today. And that truth has always been preserved through martyrdom as well, through the blood of the martyrs. Do you know that in the 20th century, there were more people martyred for Christ than in all the other centuries combined? So martyrdom is not something of the past, it's still today. But how are you and I going to receive that truth that was given to us through the holy apostles, passing it down through apostolic succession, through the bishops to today? How are we going to get this? I want to make one little, you know, how these little sidebars come in. I got to stick something in right away here before we keep going. What's the most important sacrament of the church? St. Chrysostom asked his flock one day, and of course many of them said communion. He said no. Another said, well, baptism. He said no. The most important is ordination. That's what preserves that apostolic succession. That's what preserves that truth so that we can know the true God. Not 22,000 different versions in the Protestant formation. There's a lot of good Protestants. They're probably better people than me. But there's only one truth. How do you and I prepare the gardens of our hearts so that that truth can be manifested within us and we can know Christ and his Father? Well,
there's a million things we can talk about here. I'm just going to mention a few. Thanks to St. Paisios the Apennite. Here's number one. You and I have to concentrate only on our sins, nobody else's. I'll never forget a little three-year-old, since his brothers and sisters, he had six of them, and when they went to confession, he said he wanted to come to confession too. And so he started telling me all his sibling sins. I said, no, Gregory, I'm here to hear your sins. And he said, okay. I said, anything you want to confess? He says, no. I said, well, can I ask you some questions? He said, sure. I said, have you ever disobeyed your parents? Yeah. Fought with your brothers and sisters? Yes. Talked back to your parents? Yes. But you've done nothing wrong? No. And you know, in that little innocence, but today, you know, how many of us concentrate on our own sins? If I concentrated on my sins every day, I wouldn't have time to think about anybody else's sins. So that's very important. The Abba of Moses the Black kind of illustrated that to the whole monastery. Some of the monks came to his cell and he says, Abba Moses, come on now, we're going to go judge a brother. We're going to have a synod. He says, get all the brothers together, we're going to judge him. He says, wait, just a minute. And he went in there and he got this big bag and he filled it with dirt. And then he got a little teeny one and put a little few dirts in it. And then he put three holes in the bottom of the big bag and stuck it over his back. And he says, woe is me. I'm going to judge my brother's sins in front of me and mine are falling behind me. They canceled synecdoches. So that's number one, concentrate on my own sins. The next one is pretty tough. Justify the other person. Ouch. Justify the other person. You know, I'm not positive, but I think it was a Rochor bishop in the 30s. One woman got very upset at him, and so what did she do? She spread a false rumor about him. She said that he molested her. And he said nothing. And they took it to court. He didn't defend himself. And then it was time for this woman to come onto the stand and point to her accuser, the one who did it to her, according to her. And as soon as she got on the stand and she looked over at him and he was just in prayer, she began to weep and she said, I lied. But by justifying her, he brought her back. And everybody went to the bishop and said, why didn't you say anything? Why didn't you justify yourself? You know, when he said, I'm a sinful man. How can I justify myself? So, justify the other person. You know, you husbands who are blessed, maybe that your wife is home with the children, and maybe she's had a rough day. And you've had a rough day too, but you don't know what it's like. Let me tell you something, man. You don't know what it's like to have a few little kids messing around with you all day and not being able to talk to an adult. And so when you come in the house, she jumps on you and starts yelling. Well, what do you need to do? You need to justify her. You need to say, you know, she's had a tough day and you need to be kind and gentle to her. And in doing so, you're going to have a big blessing for you and your wife and your whole family. So justify the other. Number three, and this is another difficult one, don't jump to conclusions. How often do we do that? There's a story in the Desert Fathers about this extremely wealthy man who everybody hated. They thought he was terrible because beggars would come up to him and he would say, get out of here. But as he was saying that, he was dropping a gold coin in their hand. Everybody else thought he was a terrible person. When he died, all the beggars were at the funeral, and they said, what are you doing here? I said, what do you mean? He always took care of us. So all those people, they jumped to a conclusion. They didn't see the full story. But one of my favorite stories on this is when St. Paisios was telling us apparently not too long ago, a monk from Mount Asseth, he died, and people were very happy because he was a drunk. He was always drunk. And so they went to the Yeranabasius and said, "Well, it's about time that drunk finally left this life. What do you say, Yarna?" He says, "Well, I don't know what to tell you, but there was a legion of angels that came and took his soul to heaven." And they said, "What? You mean this drunk?" He says, "Children, you don't know the story. He was born in Turkey during the time when the Turks, whenever there was a young boy born, they would grab the Greek child and make him a Genezeret to be someone who fought the Greeks. And so what did the parents do? They had to work in the field. They didn't want the baby to cry, so they gave him raki. It's like ouzon, to drink to keep the baby quiet. Well, obviously then this child becomes, he was drinking when he was a young man, 19 glasses of raki a day. And so someone said, "We got to get into Mount Athos." And he went under an elder, and the elder could see, you know, he understood the problem. And he said, "We're going to try to take off one glass a year." So after 18 years, he got down to one glass of raki. So the saint said, Saint Paisius, "Look at this. Look at the improvement that this man made, and look at the condition that he was in. So please, we have to learn not to jump to conclusions. If we do those three things every day, at least try to do them, what do you think? Do you think this world would be a better place? Do you think we would be in better condition for that salvation?" I think I'm going to go over a little bit. One more thing. Again, the elder Paisios, Saint Paisios now. And some of you probably heard me say this in another retreat, but this is a very important thing to add to those first three. A young man came to him very distraught because, see there, the evil one's distraught about this because he knows we're going to hit him right now real hard. That's why, boom, that thing dropped. Here we go. He had all these terrible thoughts and he wanted to know how he could get rid of them. And he said, "Yarna, how do I stop these thoughts from happening?" And about that time, a plane was flying overhead. And Yarna looked up and said, "Son, can I stop that plane from flying overhead?" And the young man thought, "Oh, he's really funning me now. He doesn't even care what I'm thinking." He said, "No, Yarna, I can't stop the plane from flying over my head." He says, "But look around. Do you see a runway? Could that plane land?" He said, "Well, no, I couldn't." He said, "It's the same with the thoughts. Just like I can't stop that plane from flying over my head, I can't stop the thoughts. But what I can do with God's grace is to build, not let a runway be built so that thought can come into me." And that's the key to life. When a thought comes, you can usually tell right away if it's from God or not. If it's not from God, don't debate with it. You're going to lose. The devil is the greatest debater in the universe. Don't say, "How can I be thinking such a terrible thing? Where did this come from?" Instead, immediately do something like this: "In the name of Jesus Christ, I rebuke this thought," and then go into the Jesus prayer. "Lord Jesus Christ, have mercy on me." I guarantee you, it will work every time. And what's so beautiful about the Jesus prayer? If I have a heart problem, I gotta take a certain medicine. A kidney problem, a certain medicine. Arthritis, a certain medicine. Something different for each illness. The Jesus prayer works for all the illnesses of the soul. So brothers and sisters in Christ, that eternal life, to know Jesus and to know the Father who sent him, we need to concentrate on our sins. We need to justify the other. We need to stop jumping to conclusions, and we need to stop building runways for the thoughts. If we do, then what the Holy Fathers receive through apostolic succession will come upon all of us, and indeed, we will be with the kingdom, in the kingdom of God with him eternally. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you.